The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Larkin, Texas, here today. Surprised you, didn't I? I'll be sitting in for John today. And y'all are in for a special treat because you get to hear the sounds of paint drying. Just kidding. Today, I'm going to be visiting with Vicki Davis. It's been a while since we visited, and I thought that y'all would enjoy eavesdropping in on our conversation. Obviously, if you'd like to join that conversation, you can call. That number is 800-313-9443. And if you wish, you can join us in the chat room. That's nationalintelreport.chatango.com. So anyway, today is August the 1st, 2019. It's been a while since we visited. I almost had an opportunity to sit in for Chris Hinckley very recently, but I wound up spending, well, most of the night not sleeping. And so he caught me very early or very late before the beginning of his show, and I had not had my first cup of coffee. So now I'm joining you this day, and I did actually make a cup of coffee. So I thought that I'd catch up with my old friend Vicki. So Vicki, do we have you out there in cyberspace?
Yes, you do. I'm just sitting here waiting and can't wait to get started.
You damn girl. You know you're just about my favorite person in the world to talk to. Did you know that?
You are a brute for punishment, aren't you?
I keep telling people I can't do this radio hosting stuff. I'm just no damn good at it. But, you know, when I'm talking with you, I feel like I'm on, you know, I'm in seventh heaven. So maybe we can share with our listeners how they can find us online, aside from the sounds of our voices. I know that your websites are, so the old one, still an oldie but a goodie, is channelingreality.com. And the newer one is called thetechnocratictyranny.com. And, of course, you can always type in either one of our names on, say, YouTube or BitChute or something, and something generally will pop up. But you can find my work. My old work is at a site called Just an American, and that's at larkintexas.blogspot.com. And I have an old chat room that I put stuff in there, and that's called Justa, J-U-S-T-A, Numerican, N-U-M-E-R-I-C-A-N, .chattango.com. And otherwise, you can join us in our chat room. Once again, nationalintelreport.chattango.com. I'll try to put in a few links here and there for y'all. You can find my work at RBN. Simply do a search. Communitarianism, First Things First, and Lark on Communitarianism. So I know that a lot of you get sick of hearing me talk about this C word, and it's not one of my favorite things to talk about, quite honestly. But so few people today do, so I force myself to rail upon everyone within earshot. They must take note of this word. Communitarianism is the one word which describes what we're seeing today. It's a big picture, at least as it relates to this plane of existence. And it ties directly into this thing called communitarian law. Look it up. Communitarian law is the new law of the European Union, also known as EU law, community law, or community acquis, which is short for the French acquis communautaire, which simply means in English communitarian law. Do a search, A-C-Q-U-I-S, acquis communautaire, C-O-M-M-U-N-A-U-T-A-I-R-E. And yes, the entries describing what acquis communautaire is are written in English. But anyway, I know that we had a visit earlier today, Vicki, and you shared with me some things that I think are really very interesting. So why don't we lead off, and once you lead that off, and let's begin our discussion with what you've been working on lately.
Okay. Well, how that ties in with the introduction you just gave is that what I study is history from a systems perspective. And it's the design and development of systems necessitated by the international agreements that they call trade agreements that have led to the system of community and communitarian law. When George Herbert Walker Bush talked about the New World Order, he really, really meant a new world order. And
he wasn't just a woofing, was he?
No, he wasn't. He was talking about a different organizational structure for the world. Seriously. And so, you know, we're used to thinking within the boundaries, within the borders of the United States, as if the United States is the world in its entirety, kind of like a fisheye lens. You know how a fisheye lens will bring part of the picture up close and in focus, and everything else will be kind of hazed out in the background?
Indeed.
That's kind of how we live in the United States. Everything within the borders of the United States is in focus. Everything outside of the United States is kind of fuzzy. It's all very, very fuzzy.
That's rather by design, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so once you break through those barriers, through the mind, it's really only a mind barrier that everybody is corralled into this vision of America as being the world in its entirety. But once you break out of that mindset and you start looking at the organizational structures that have been built since World War II, you can actually put together the pieces of how they designed the world to function. And it's not really functioning very well at this point, obviously. But nevertheless, there was a design to it, a method to their madness. And you can find the pieces of the design, how they went about doing it, and what the end goal design is, just by going back history and then going forward. And so what I've been working on recently is the social engineers. Between the 1940s and the 1950s, that's when... Now, there were scientists that were working on computers prior to that time, but during the war and then after the war is when they really started working on them. And I think the first business application was somewhere around 1959. It was for the Bank of America. But when you design a computer system, what you're actually doing is you're designing a manual process and you are automating it. And everything in your design is an object. And so people that are included in your design, they are objects in your design. Well, they started out with designing systems for corporations, but it wasn't long before they... began moving to a bigger arena and actually engineering the society at large. One of the people that I was looking at was Robert McNamara. Robert McNamara had been a logistics expert during World War II, and then he went to work for Ford Motor Company after the war. Basically rebuilding the company from to turn it back into a domestic type business of producing cars. And in 1960, he became the president of Ford Motor Company. And a month later, JFK appointed him to be the Secretary of Defense, where he took the methodology, the systems analysis, systems theory, and all of that whole body of knowledge that he'd built on during the war years and after, he took that to the Defense Department and restructured the Defense Department using systems theory, systems analysis, and systems theory. He then took that knowledge after he left the Defense Department. He then went to the World Bank, and he did the same thing at the World Bank, turning them away from the traditional business of banking to being an organization for social engineering under the heading of economic development.
And let's not forget, 1945, the U.S. entered into the United Nations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Soon thereafter, we had the first GATT treaty. We had the all indications were they were moving towards a single world governance. They just needed the technology to make it work.
And the time to happen overnight. It takes a lot of planning, and then it takes time to get the buy-in. You got to market it, and one way or the other, you know, whether you create the need for it through a dialectic, or whether the problem occurs naturally and you have a solution for it ready-made, it takes time. But you're right, that first treaty, the first Bretton Woods, the meetings, they created the World Bank. I can't remember what the other organization was, but the third one was supposed to be the International Trade Organization, but they couldn't get that through Congress because it involved the loss of sovereignty over our country. And so the senators... in 1949, whenever the vote was, they refused to go along with the creation of an international trade organization. But then over the next 35 or 40 years, they incrementally signed agreements through what they call trade rounds. And those trade rounds are actually agreements towards the creation of an international system, what Lark just called community law.
Yeah, you've got to have a one world, to have one world global governance or management, then you have to have a one world religion and a one world law. And the reason why religion is integral to this mix is that, really, I term it religio-philosophy. And this is why we see organizations like Rockefeller's World Council of Churches. This is why we see, let's put it this way, you have to engineer the buy-in, the agreement, voluntary consent, in order that the slaves might implement the vision. So you have to have a lot of partners in crime to create a new world order. Because what you're doing is doing away with the old world and bringing in the new. And what is it predicated on? We're talking about voluntary cooperation, consent. I mean, the people that have bought into this socialization, in other words, they bought into the engineering of the buy-in, they are the ones leading the charge. That would be at the local level, the state level, the national level, and within the international arena. Would you agree with that?
Yes. All of the social diversity, social justice agenda, diversity, all of that, the no borders, that's all in preparation for the move to the world management system. I like what you called it better than a governing system, because it really is a management system. And even though we still have our, what appear to be our leaders, they really are more or less a puppet government once you understand how the global system works. And it's engineered. But what they have to do, they have to de-ideologicalize the nation. And that's the process that we've been going through. Destabilization of the American, our government leaders don't really act like they're American anymore. They have no more affinity for Americans than they do for Mexicans or Canadians or Guatemalans or Bolivians. You know, we're all level. We're all slaves in the same pot.
And you know, back in about 2006 and 2007, Vicki, I started looking at the mission statements at various universities around the country. Mm-hmm. And I had only gotten online for the first time in 2004. And everywhere I was looking, I was seeing the same buzzwords. Sustainability, sustainable development, change agent, global citizen. And I must admit, I was in shock.
Yeah.
And I like to say today that the nation state is going by the wayside. And it's going to be supplanted by the globalized or global to local market state. And this in turn will give rise to
pick up
right after this break.
While you were sleeping, they came and took it all away.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now.
The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. You're listening to the National Intel Report. Tonight, Clark in Texas, guest hosting for John Stabmiller. Our special guest is Vicki Davis. And I guess we got caught up a little bit at the break there, Vicki. I was saying simply, just really to echo your words, the nation state is giving way to the globalized market state, also known as the global to local market state, and this in turn will give rise to the regionalized city state. Think smart cities. Think stack them and pack housing. Think about conservation easements. You know, the rewilding project.
It's all centrally planned, and it's cookie cutter, and it's being replicated all over the world, in countries all over the world. The only real differences are cultural. For whatever part of it that they can implement, whatever is suitable for their culture for the time being, but it's all incremental, you know, and at whatever stage in the implementation of this beast system, which it is a beast system, all the countries are doing it.
Well, I remember soon after World War II ended, I remember, you can find this on YouTube, I believe, John Maynard Keynes, who was a Fabian socialist. He was all the rage at the time. He was giving an address at Harvard University in which he said that the Fabian socialist had it right, whereas the Marxian socialist had it all wrong. In other words, he was suggesting that you didn't want to do your organizing with the people that were going to swarm the palace, banishing pitchforks to change the social order. What you wanted to do is conscript the best and the brightest to your cause. Instead, you wanted the professional people. You wanted celebrities. You wanted the pretty people. You wanted the gifted people, the bright lights, the pillars of our communities to lead the charge. You get a lot more. You get a lot more traction.
Yeah, boy, you just nailed it spot on. That is exactly what they've done.
So they went after the smart people, the one with the university degrees. They went after the people that, you know, enjoyed some kind of celebrity. They were cultural icons. These are the people they conscripted to the cause, because people have a tendency to want to follow the leader. They want to have heroes and heroines. They want people to look up to. They're looking for people that they can respect their opinions about how the world is and so forth and so on.
The role model.
That's right. So we started respecting scientists and all kinds of people that people lend their support for, because they subscribe to what I call oracleism. Remember the Delphi? The oracle at Delphi in ancient Greek mythology.
Yeah.
You know, if you had some important question, you go see the oracle at Delphi. And they will tell you which way to go with these difficult questions of the day, or these difficult questions that we all face in life in terms of how are we going to organize our life? How will we navigate this social, cultural, economic, political milieu in which we all find ourselves?
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because in 1965, the Carnegie Foundation funded a project by a guy named Daniel Bell, and he's the one that started the Futures Project, the Futurists, and they were the oracles out there telling people what the future was going to bring us. And basically, in doing that, they were conditioning people for the changes that were coming in the social engineering planning.
We see it in the literature. We see it in sci-fi. We see it in the when film cinema works. We see the examples of predictive programming. We see the changes of the educational system over time. Let's take a break and have a back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Okay, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Vicki, we've got Nancy in California on the line. How you doing there, Nancy?
Hello there. I just wanted to add something really quick, and I'm so excited to have you on, Lark. You may not think that you are a good radio show host, but when you're on, it's the highlight. I really appreciate and enjoy your program. And your guest today sounds very intelligent. I know this is going to be wonderful to hear you guys and get this information. So this man, his name's Oliver Tamil. He started the George Wythe College in Cedar City, Utah. I think it was Cedar City, maybe St. George. Anyway, he said he graduated from college and didn't feel educated. So he kept on pursuing knowledge. And at that time, he said that we were entering the information age. He also talked about the New World Order, and he said that the New World Order was going to replace the Holy Order of the Son of God. And that stuck with me. It stuck with me ever since. These people, I believe, they are satanic. And that's all I wanted to add.
Well, I think that's worthwhile. First of all, before you say anything, Vicki, can you spell the gentleman's name?
Oliver.
Nancy, O-L-I- for the listeners?
Yes. Oliver, it's O-L-I-V-E-R. His last name is D-E and then capital M-I-L-L-E.
Did you get that, Vicki?
No, but I can get it on the archive. I do want to get it because he's right. And you know why? It's because they are engineering the new world. It's a designed world created through systems analysis and systems design. And in engineering processes, the engineers really more or less become the gods of the universe, which is the universe being the system that they are designing. And so in a global engineered system, there really is no place for God.
And
it has everything to do with ownership and control of all territorial assets and all material resources, especially and including the humankind.
And Lark,
well, you can
early.
I'm sorry.
Earlier,
I'm
Lark,
early.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's okay. I'm just a caller and I'm waiting here and I just want to get off so I can listen to you guys. So I'm going to say one more thing and then I'll get off. You can feel this, like this ever present control. It happens in housing. It's like a little lever is clicked and everything happens all at once. So there's this overseer that is controlling things. I'm going to get off now.
Yes. Nancy, before you go, please spell that last name once again for Oliver. Maybe someone in the chat room has it. I believe it is DeMille, D as in David, E as in Edward, M-I-L-L-E, correct? I think that's it. Oliver DeMille, ladies and gentlemen. You were saying, Vicki?
Yeah, earlier when we were talking before the program began, you were to me that I defined as the systems designers will actually define the parameters of what a person's behavior will be. And I forget what it was that you were talking about specifically, but in a systems design, all of the entities in the design, whether it's a chair or a person or a bigger process, they're all entities to be manipulated like pawns on a chessboard. You know, it's the engineer designing the system defines the roles and purposes, the missions of every entity in his design. So when you have a global system of an engineered system of management for the entire globe, they will define the roles of people right down to yourself, you know?
And with this kind of engineering, with systems, then we have to expect that certain data inputs will not be acceptable. They don't fit the system. And so we have a system, I think, by design, whereby certain data inputs are marginalized, especially when we're talking about the World Wide Web. And that's why we see the early beginnings of this censorship. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. And I have to say, Nancy is very perceptive in feeling the control. If she can feel the control around a perceptive person, because it's all around us. And most people go through their lives and they're just oblivious to it, but it's there. It's almost like a vapor, you know, that like a fog, like a really dense fog. It just envelops you.
Well, since the Age of Enlightenment, we've seen the ascendancy of the primacy of matter and the reality of change. I find that very interesting because that word matter ties into the word materialist or material or materialism. And when we talk about change, we can say correctly that change is the one constant of life. We can rely on that. In our journey through life, that's a reality. Change is always a reality. But what we see is we see these people that are engineers, they have decided that superstitions and old mythologies have to go by the wayside because we have to have new narratives for this new information age.
Absolutely.
And that's what I see occurring too. You know, we still have people are socialized whether they realize it or not. I was interested recently in these words enculturation versus acculturation. Enculturation is what occurs when your mother teaches you how to use a fork at the dinner table. But acculturation is when somebody else's culture is superimposed over upon you and your culture. And that's what I think we see today. We see a process by which, yes, enculturation still is part of our reality, our socialization, if you will. But acculturation means that other people's culture, their traditions, their reality is being superimposed over and upon ours. And that's why I say the new law of the land is indeed communitarian law.
Right.
Whether we want to agree with that or not, because we have to imagine that if a company in Germany that's a member of the EU is doing business with a company in the States, and they in turn are doing business with a company located in the People's Republic of China, and if a conflict arises which acquires adjudication in a court of law, which law will rule? And that's why in the 90s, we started seeing these contract clauses called the
choice of law.
The supremacy of communitarian law, contract clause. Now, you won't see these exact words printed as much anymore because they've learned to get around that. But you have to look at these things because, see, communitarian law is really contract law, and it's also commercial law or the law of the UCC. Men and women today, including children, your pets, your things that you think you own that are yours, they're subject to law of contract. And that means that you are really just a commercial instrument in the scheme of things. When it comes to our association or affiliation with social media and even just the World Wide Web or the Internet, it's really important to realize what was happening at the Macy conferences following World War II, and things like game theory and cybernetic theory were coming to the fore and people were discussing it. See, with cybernetic theory, what you're talking about is the marriage of man and machine. In order to engineer the buy-in, the slaves have to implement the vision. So it requires biofeedback. They can manage us with algorithms today. They can take a pulse on the population that is using the internet and determine how to steer the narratives, how to adjust the algorithmic formulas so that certain information is easily accessible, other information is not. Mm-hmm. And this is all part and parcel of what we call socioeconomics, which is a relatively new word that entered into the English lexicon sometime back in the 90s, I believe. And in fact, it was said to have been coined jointly by Mikhail Gorbachev and Amitai Etzioni.
Oh, that's interesting. Boy.
So socioeconomics, when they talk about science today, so much of science is what we used to call pseudoscience, sociology, economic science. You know, the sciences of the psychologies, you know, psychiatry. There are so many sciences that we used to call humanities and the soft sciences, which are heavily supported in the universities today, even at the expense of the so-called hard sciences. But what we've seen today is that science can be manipulated. Less and less is it about the
about real science.
About real science, you know, where you have experiments and replicable solutions, you know, that we say, okay, well, this is good science. More and more today, it's bought and paid for science, which means to say that it's the science that it respects the consensus of learned opinion.
Yeah, well, the whole the environmental agenda, global warming and all of that, that is pseudoscience, but they're using it to create the narratives for how the society must be changed, otherwise we're all going to die, you know? And
well, these are examples of agitprop, in my view.
Yeah, well, behind the narratives, there is technology, and that's really how it started in 1992 when they had the Earth Summit, when they agreed to Agenda 21. At the same time, there was a technology conference being held where Japan mostly and other countries were displaying their wares, all of the products that they had designed for saving the environment. Now, I've been looking at an organization called APEC, Asia Pacific Economic Cooperation, and they were started in 1989 at the end of the Cold War, and Berlin Wall had come down, the Soviet Union had healed their differences with communist China, and this organization called APEC was formed for the Pacific Rim countries.
And let's not forget, at the same time, with the breakup of the former Soviet Union, Mikhail Gorbachev was hailed as a hero across the world. He was trotted out across the news media in this country as this wonderful guy. You know, Ronald Reagan said, I can do business with that man.
Right. Well, what Gorbachev actually did was that he collapsed the Soviet Union, which...
And then they put in a drunk named Boris Yeltsin, so that basically all they did was just rearrange the chairs on the deck of the Titanic.
Right,
because everything was privatized, and you had all these American hotshots coming over from Britain as well to essentially take over these so-called state enterprises.
Mm-hmm. Privatization.
And everything was privatized, and privatization occurred in earnest in this country with the Clinton administration.
Reagan.
Yeah,
during the Reagan administration.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm thinking reinventing government.
Yeah, that was Clinton.
Yeah. Anyway, we got a few more callers. Let's bring up Chris in Las Vegas. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Very, very well. Thank you so much, Vicki and Lark. And I'm certainly glad to hear you two wise and learned people on in place of John today on the intelligence report. I have a couple of...
I wouldn't say that was a good substitute, but necessarily. But carry on.
Well, I have a couple of observations relative to the conversation at hand. It's my contention that we need to coin a new term rather than using the meme ticks that they use in their labels. We got to reinvent and replace them with more accurate labels. And they call it future and predictive programming, which I think is more accurately indoctrination programming. They're really placing their illusions of what can be viable in our minds. The meme ticks, they have these cancerous organisms that try to suck out our thoughts and replace them with theirs or memes. And
yeah,
that's where the meme tick comes from.
Hang on to that thought, Chris. And other callers, too. Hang on. We'll get right to you. You're listening to the National Intel Report. And we'll be right back.
So, have you heard of heavy metals? I'm not talking about the heavy metals in the junkyard. I'm talking about the heavy metals that build up in your body. Heavy metals in your body can make you feel sluggish, fatigued, and just plain off. Why not try Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com? Cleansing your body and making you feel great. No, not cleansing the outside of your body, but cleansing the inside of your body of intruders that sneak their way into you and set up an intruder camp. Life Change Tea helps remove unwanted intruder camps. Brew it, steep it, and drink in the results. Tastes great so you can create a new health habit. Our tea loves to help people. It just needs the chance. So order yours today by logging on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Our Life Change Super Strength Tea is waiting. This could be a beautiful relationship. Take charge of your health. Order at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
And we are back. So, Chris, you want to pick up where we left off there?
Well, let me give a little look back to Nancy's call with a feeling of the control mechanism she feels tightening like a noose around the neck, around the world. That's, I think you two both know the term panopticon, invisible wireless prison. This is the global slave planet, and I propose that the new world order is actually the old world order of global Satanism, of one world global control, demonation, making slaves of all but the super elite, self-deemed, who claim they know better than we do what's good for us, which I think is a preposterous delusion these people suffer from, and their psychopathy and the maniacal spin of their brain into oblivious hallucinations that they know better for other people than what they do for ourselves when they can't even manage their own lives.
Well, they're just being good corporate citizens there, Chris. You know, they, you know, of course, you know, they've got the education and the smarts, and of course they feel like it's incumbent upon them to lead other men.
Yes, take care of the little people. But, yeah, the whole system of nation states, that was defined in the 1600s. It's called the Westphalian system of nation states. And that was a treaty. The Westphalian Treaty ended the 30 years war between the Catholics and the Protestants. So I think you're probably right, Chris, that the New World Order is the elimination of the Westphalian system of nation states, going back to the idea of a global system of control that they really couldn't quite manage back in the 1600s, but you know, from their point of view, Europe was the world. So,
yeah, that would have been the Treaty of Westphalia, 1648, indeed. Mm-hmm. I would suggest the listeners go back to comparing the system for governance in the city-states of ancient Greece. You know, this gave rise to city-states and to so-called democracy.
And that's exactly the system that we are returning to, the system of city-states.
That's right, because, of course, when with the rise of ancient Rome and the so-called Republic, we had people like Plato, from ancient Greek mythology, from which the republicans or the publicani were drawing upon to organize what they termed a republic. And I would suggest the listeners read something, do a search, History of Corporations, glennholt.com, glynholt.com, and read about it, because the corruption starts with corporations, and it did from the very beginning. Do I hear the music, Mike? I guess so.
Thank you so much, Vicki and Mark. Bye-bye.
Thanks for waiting, Chris, and we'll be back with you other callers right after this message.
Take America back. We must take America back.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe. Short walks cause cramping or pains in legs. Memory is not as good as it used to be. Ankles swell late in the day. Chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.
Because you can handle the truth.